Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
This week, though, we're hearing from the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read to you chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He's put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is Christ the King Sunday in the church calendar. Whoops, there we are. It's a time for us as a church to just celebrate Christ as King. And this comes, it's always the last of the church calendar year. I don't know if you know that Advent is actually the first part of the church calendar season. So this is kind of the culmination of the calendar year is Christ the King Sunday. And I was thinking about this, the body of Christ, as I started off, I wanted to talk about the body of Christ, and so I heard this story this week. You've probably heard this before, so please bear with me if you have. But so there's a person driving, and the person's driving, and they're kind of one of these aggressive drivers, you know, like they've got, and so they're kind of up on the tailgate, and they're honking and swearing and using words that you ought not to use at other people, and maybe even throwing things out the car window, and just like you're just riding on this car in front of them. It's getting kind of ridiculous, and police officer pulls the person over, and you know, we have police officers here. We'll say it's Ryan. So we'll say Ryan pulls me over, or pulls over the person in the story. And comes up and is like, and says, I need to see your license and registration. Driver pulls out and, you know, what's the problem, officer? I was driving the speed limit. The person in front of me wasn't driving well, but I was driving the speed limit. And the police officer says, well, here's the thing. I saw the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and then there was the Follow Me to Church bumper sticker and I Heart John Wesley Fun Facts bumper sticker, and with your behavior, I just assumed the car was stolen, so thank you for it's important for us to be the body of Christ, and so I was thinking about that, because that's a powerful part of what's going on in the scripture, that with Jesus being the head and the church being the body of Christ is an amazing thing. But as I wrestled with the scripture and thought about it being Christ the King Sunday, as you get into this body of Christ piece, there's this really exalted language about Jesus, and this amazing piece of scripture that raises Jesus up. And so the more I looked at that, the more my focus changed as I studied and kind of wrestled with the text, and just thought, you know, this text is really about holding Christ up, and our role as a body comes as we are connected to him. And so on Christ the King Sunday, we're going to talk about proclaiming Christ as King. Christ is King. But let's be honest, when you look at the world around us, it doesn't always feel like Christ is King. So here we are on Christ the King Sunday as a church, but what do you say in the face of tragedy or evil or sin and loss? And we celebrate Christ the King, but It doesn't always look that way. So what do you say? Well, what does Scripture tell us? There's three things I want to bring up from Scripture that came up in the text that we're looking through. The first thing is this: we are defined by who we are in Christ. So you see this in this passage in chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2 of Ephesians, that we are defined by who we are in Christ. So chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 says, we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We are chosen in Christ. We are destined for adoption as God's children through Christ. You see, we are who we are in Christ. It says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. So we have our redemption in him. We are who we are in Christ. In verse 11, it says, in Christ we have an inheritance. Our inheritance comes as we are in Christ. In verse 13, it says, in him you are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. As you are in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you are made alive together with Christ. So you see, our identity, who we are, comes from Christ. We are in Christ, and as we are in Christ and attached to Christ by faith, then we get things like redemption and inheritance, the Holy Spirit being made alive together. We are to anchor our identity in Jesus. Who we are and all that we receive is in Christ. So the main way that I should identify myself, the main way that you should understand yourself, is who you are in Christ. Okay? Who you are in Christ. The second thing is this: Christ has been raised from the dead and exalted above all. That's another just main emphasis through this piece. Christ has been raised from the dead. God raised Christ from the dead, which means that the power of God is greater than the power of death, which is a profound thing to just kind of sit and think about, that God raises the dead. God is more powerful than the dead. And if you think about it, death is the great enemy that stalks and comes after all of us. Death is what the tyrants hold over the heads of the people that are under them. And God is more powerful than death. And then not only did God raise Christ from the dead, he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So at the right hand of God the Father, that's saying at a position of power, the heavenly places, it's this new sphere of reality, a spiritual realm, this place of control and influence. Heaven isn't just like beyond the stars somewhere. It's a new sphere of reality. It's a different sphere of reality where there is influence and control on the world around us. One theologian described it as like the control room of earth. So Christ is seated at the place of power in the control room, if you think about it. So he has raised him up. But the passage doesn't stop there. It says then he was seated far above, not just above, but far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Right, you got it? Above all rule, above all authority, above all power, above all dominion, above every name that is named. But not just every name that is named, every name that is named now and every name that is named in the age to come. God, and then if this wasn't enough, he says, then God put everything under his feet. And if this wasn't enough, he says, and he made him the head over all things. I mean, you get the picture of where this is going. To sum it up, the power of God in Christ is greater than everything, even death itself. Christ was set above all powers, like all powers, everywhere, for all time. And Scripture piles on descriptions here, one after another, after another, after another, to emphasize this, the power of Christ. Christ is king over all, everything, the end. And he makes sure to include everything in there. Okay, so we are who we are in Christ. We are to anchor our identity in Christ. And Christ has been seated with power above all things. 1 and 2. The third part is this: the power of God in Christ is for the church. Now that kind of logically follows from the first statement, that our identity is anchored in Christ. We are who we are in Christ. So as we are in Christ, so goes our fate. As we are in Christ, we are redeemed and blessed and adopted and alive. But it's actually further spelled out in this passage. If you look at verse 19, it says, the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. The working of God's power in Christ for us who believe. And then verse 22, it says that God made him the head over all things for the church. For us who believe. For the church. Now, to be clear, what I mean by church is the gathering of those who believe in Christ as Lord. don't mean the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, right? And then you open it up and the church is the people, somehow that rhymes, right? The church is not a 501c3 nonprofit institution that has tax-exempt status. That's not what the church is. The church is the gathered people of God who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, who have placed our faith in Christ, who have rooted our identity in Jesus, who get our life from Jesus and our blessings from Jesus. That group of people that gather together is the church. That's what the church is. And as we are in Christ, then, we have a hope and a promise of the power of God at work for us. So, again, to sum up, Scripture tells us we are defined by who we are in Christ. Christ, who was raised from the dead and seated in power above all things, and the power of God that's in Christ is at work for us, the church. Okay, three things. We are who we are in Christ. Christ has been raised up in power. His power is at work for the church. So what do you say? We celebrate Christ as a king, but what do you say in the face of tragedy and evil and sin and loss? Because I can go through those three points to you, but if you're going through hurt or heartache right now, it may not feel like it matters. What do you say in the face of tragedy, evil, sin, and loss? Well, it may not be okay now. There is ugliness and heartache right now, but Jesus is our guy, and he is in charge. Jesus has all the power, and he will have all the power over everything, over evil forces, over sin, even death. Jesus has all the power and will have all the power over everything. He can even raise the dead over everything. Jesus is our guy and he's in charge. Therefore, the ugliness that you see right now will not always be. God is going to rescue this broken world. As verse 10 says, God will gather all things up to himself through Christ. There is not one thing that is beyond the redeeming power of God in Christ for us. And we are a people of faith. So as Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith, what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So as we place our faith in Christ, we are trusting the one who is in power, that he's going to take care of it. Today we are called to place our faith, our trust, in the one who reigns over all things for all time. Today we are called to have faith that our King Jesus is working for us and will work for us. Today we are called to have faith that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Today we are called to have faith that Christ, who has all the power, can make everything right. See, the challenge is to live in the reality that Christ is King, to live by faith in that reality, to have the assurance of things that we hope for, the conviction of things that we have not yet seen, to believe that he is in charge, and no matter how things may look now, he is going to take care of you. At the end of the day, he's going to take care of you. One of the ways to understand our faith that really resonates with me is for us to think about our faith as an act of defiance or an act of rebellion against the brokenness and sin in the world. What I mean by that is this. We're in a broken world where people are hurt and hurting each other, and where we're hurt and we sin, and there's all of this brokenness around. And it seems to me that we've got two choices. We can either say, well, I'm just going to go along with it, or we can say, you know what, that's just not okay. That's not okay. The brokenness and the sin and the death and the heartache and the pain, that's just not okay. And one of the things that our faith can do is to trust that God says it's not okay. And that someday Christ will come and there will be no more of that stuff. And in fact, that today God is actually working to erase that evil and the heartache and the brokenness in the world around us. How do I know that? Because God has done that in my own heart. He continues to do that in my own heart. How do we know that God is working for people in the world who need help? And then as a church, we give. I think one of the ways to understand our faith is to see it as an act of defiance, to look at the brokenness of the world and say, you know what, that's not okay. So in the midst of sin, we talk about God's forgiveness. in the midst of death, like at funerals, we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we gather together as the people of God, I know there are folks who are going through difficult things right now. And sometimes for us, worship alone is an act of defiance. It's a way of standing up in the midst of the pain and the heartache and the failure and proclaiming that you are not buying into all that stuff because Jesus Christ is King. This darkness is not. Worship itself can be an act of defiance. So what do you say? What do you say in the face of tragedy, evil, sin, and loss? What do we say? We say, Christ is King. When your sin has gotten the best of you, you say, Christ is King, and he will forgive me, and he will deliver me. When you are facing injustice, when life is not fair, you say, Christ is King, and he's going to bring justice. When you feel overpowered, you say, Christ is King, and he's above all powers for all time, and he's going to take care of this. When you face trials and hardship, you say, Jesus Christ is King. He overcame trials. He calmed the storm with a word, and he can calm this storm too. When you are attacked by the powers of evil, you say, Christ is King. I belong to the one who cast out demons with authority. I belong to the one that was so much more powerful than the demons. Demons begged him to leave them alone. It wasn't a battle. It wasn't if Jesus would win. They came and said, Jesus, can you end this quickly? We know you're more. That's our guy. Our guy is the one who is that much more powerful than any force of evil that you are going to face this week, now, and forever. When you face death itself, you proclaim Jesus Christ is King. He rose from the dead and defeated death itself like he really died. They really buried him. They rolled a big stone over the tomb. They guarded the tomb with soldiers. But Jesus knocked down the gates of Hades, rose from the dead, broke free from the tombs, made the guards faint. And now you see that death has lost its grip on us. And now in Christ, we too can be raised from the dead. What do you say? You proclaim in defiance that Jesus Christ is King. That Jesus is King. He's the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Promised One, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is the Son of the Living God. And he loves me. And he loves you. And he died for us. And whatever is going on right now, it will pass, but Jesus will not. Because he reigns yesterday and today and forever and ever. And my fate is in his hands today. So I can look evil in the face. I can look it in the eye and I can say, Jesus Christ is King to the glory of God the Father, now and forever. Amen.